Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
So good, so kind, so merciful, so just.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. And today we celebrate the great feast of Saint Dominic. Dominic was born in Spain. He became a canon in the church. He worked effectively against the Albigensian heresy through preaching and through good example. And to carry on this work, he gathered together companions and founded the Order of Preachers, or Dominicans, after Saint Dominic, the Order of Preachers. This is a wonderful, wonderful saint with great wisdom. Great wisdom. Our opening prayer for today says this: May Saint Dominic come to the help of your church by his merits and teaching, O Lord, and may he who was an outstanding preacher of your truth be a devoted intercessor on our behalf. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. So let us begin now. We continue with the book of Numbers and the whole congregation. This is in chapter 20, verses 1 to 13. The whole congregation of the children of Israel arrived in the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people settled at Kadesh. It was here that Miriam died and here that she was buried. As the community had no water, they held a council against Moses and Aaron. You're always going after your leaders instead of praying with them, instead of supporting them. Don't go against your leaders. Support them, help them. Offer your advice, wisdom. Don't divide. When you divide, you dilute, at the very least, you dilute the project you're working on. The people contend with Moses, exclaiming, "Would that we too had perished with our kinsmen in the Lord's presence. Why have you brought the Lord's assembly into this desert where we and our livestock are dying? Why did you lead us out of Egypt only to bring us to this wretched place which has neither grain nor figs nor vines nor pomegranates? Here there's not even water to drink." So I laugh, but it's actually very serious. I laugh. I'm amused at how fickle human nature is. And we're guilty of it too. God gives us so many proofs of his love and his generosity. And as soon as we get into a struggle, where is God? He's abandoned us. Rather than saying, "Lord, I put my trust in you to help me through this. Show me the way to go. Show me what to do, what to say." That kind of faith God rewards. But Moses and Aaron went away from the assembly to the entrance of the meeting tent where they fell prostrate. They just walked away from the people. What could they say? They were dependent on the Lord too. It humbles us to be dependent on the Lord when the Lord doesn't come through in our timing. We tend to think he's not there. His timing is perfect. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to them, and the Lord said to Moses, "Take your staff and assemble the community, you and your brother Aaron, and in their presence order the rock to yield its waters. From the rock you shall bring forth water for the congregation and their livestock to drink." So Moses took his staff from its place before the Lord as he was ordered. He and Aaron assembled the community in front of the rock, where he said to them, "Listen to me, you rebels. Are we to bring water for you out of this rock?" And then raising his hand, Moses struck the water twice with his staff, and the water gushed out in abundance for the people and their livestock to drink. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you were not faithful to me in showing forth my sanctity before the children of Israel, you shall not lead this community into the land I will give them." One of the explanations of this is, if you look at the section where Moses says, "Are we to bring water for you out of this rock?" And then, raising his hand, he struck the rock twice. The Lord only told him to strike the rock, period. He says, from this rock you shall bring forth water for the congregation. It's a symbol, brothers and sisters. When we don't just do what the Lord tells us, we try to do more so it might be more effective. Moses' sin was that he wasn't relying on the Lord sufficiently. He did do what God asked him, but he must have had a lot of doubts. And it's symbolized by striking the rock twice. It tells us how serious it is that when the Lord gives us proof of who he is, and he gives us proof of how much he loves us, then we have to trust him. We have to make the decision to walk in faith and trust him. I will do what he says and what he tells us in his word, do. Don't pick out the word you like and the word you don't like. Don't pick out what you think you can do or can't do. Do what God tells you to do, and you will be given the strength. If it's something God wants of you, you will be given all you need. Do what he tells you to do. Don't do more and don't do less, but do it. This is where Moses made mistakes. Because you were not faithful to me in showing forth my sanctity before the children of Israel, you shall not lead this community into the land I will give them. These are the waters of Meribah, where the children of Israel contended against the Lord, and where the Lord revealed his sanctity among them. Psalm 95 responds to this reading, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If you've heard the word of the Lord and you know what he's asking you to do, and you say, I don't want to, or I will do it later, or any one of 100 excuses, you are hardening your heart. If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Part of the psalm says, oh, that today you would hear his voice. Harden not your hearts as at Meribah. When they were at Meribah, they hardened their hearts. They didn't believe the Lord. As in the day of Massa in the desert where your fathers tested me. They tested me though they had seen my works. That's what the Lord doesn't want. If we come to him saying, Lord, help me that I might believe, and the Lord gives you a sign, then you go on that. You don't keep coming back and saying, well, yeah, that was for that, but give me another sign. Then you're trusting in signs. You're not trusting in the goodness of the Lord. The Lord will give us signs to build our faith, but he won't allow us to keep relying on signs. He wants to rely on our faith in him. That takes more courage, takes more faith. The Holy Spirit is longing to pour out faith for us, longing to pour it out on us, brothers and sisters. Really, longing. If we will but put our trust in him. Oh, that today you would hear his voice. Harden not your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massa in the desert, where your fathers tested me. They tested me, though they had seen my works, and so God punished them. He will help us, but once he's helped us, we have to build our faith on him and on who he is. He becomes like a Santa Claus if we're looking to him to just give it to us every time the way we want it. He's calling us into deeper faith and into deeper union, and they're gifts you can't see readily. They don't satisfy the body right away. They don't satisfy our mind and our heart right away. We want proof, and we want it now. But God says, put your trust in me, not in the works I do, so much as put your trust in me. That will not fail you if that trust grows. Gospel of Matthew chapter 16 verses 13 to 23. Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi and he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? He's testing them. God is testing you. What's your answer? They replied, well, some say John the Baptist and others Elijah, and still others say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. They do not answer him directly. They're afraid to. They're not sure how to. This is taking the risk to step out in faith, and they don't have it. And so, well, so-and-so thinks you're this, and so-and-so thinks you're that, and that group thinks this. We do that all the time, brothers and sisters. we avoid, we try to evade directly answering. But Jesus is saying to you and to me, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they give him all these various answers. And he said to them, who do you say that I am? And that's the question that Jesus asks of each of us. I have baptized you. I have given you living water. I have given you grace flowing from the cross. I have given you myself in the Eucharist day in and day out. I have given you the grace for reconciliation. I have given you the means. I have given you everything. When will you trust me? When will you become my follower? And that's, in a sense, what Jesus is saying here when he says, who do you say that I am? He looks them right in the eye. And I can imagine some of them looking around, looking down, looking anywhere but at Jesus. They're afraid and they're not sure. Yet they've been following him. And Simon Peter said in reply, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Simon Peter, for all his mistakes, for his denial, for everything, Simon Peter got this one right. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him in reply, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. He acknowledges him. He acknowledges the individual. He acknowledges the individual's faith. And so he will do for you if you put all your faith in him. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. The only way you could say this is that you're open to God and God is speaking to your heart. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he strictly ordered his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. So he reveals himself, and he begins to give them their mission by establishing Peter as the rock on which they will build. And from that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And then Peter took Jesus aside. See, Peter had the wisdom and the insight, the revelation to say the truth, but then he got scared when he hears, well, this is what's going to happen to Jesus. And he pulls Jesus aside, and he says, God forbid, Lord, God forbid, no such thing shall ever happen to you. He's thinking in the flesh. He's not seeing the eternal perspective. He saw it for a moment, and then he falls back into the flesh like we all do. And Jesus says to him, get behind me, Satan. You can't be a temptation to me. I need men and women who will stand beside me on my road to Calvary. And brothers and sisters, he asks for men and women today to stand before him in the truth, to carry the fire and the life and the power of the gospel to others. This is the truth. Jesus is the Son of God. Can I declare this in my own heart? Can I live by this truth? Do I have the courage to communicate it to others? That's what Jesus asks of us today. He says, who do you say that I am? And by that answer, you declare whether you are his disciple or not. May God give you grace. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.